In Luke 5, what we have here, I'll just kind of paraphrase what's happening here. Simon Peter catches himself after a hard night of fishing, and he's up on the dock because he didn't catch anything, because he's a fisherman, and he's discouraged because he didn't catch anything. And so where we catch up with Simon is he's on the dock, he's washing his nets, he put his boat up, he called it quits. You ever call it quits? You ever get so discouraged in life because what you knew existed failed to reveal itself? I shared that there's these things called fish finders. Anybody ever use a fish finder on a boat? Well, ladies, if you don't know what a fish finder is, it's kind of like this iPad, but it's on the boat up top, and there's this little device which is miraculous, right? I mean, it somehow has the ability to scan what's underneath the surface of the boat, and you'll be like cruising along on your boat, and you can see all these fish. It's crazy. You can see all these fish on the fish finder because that's what the fish finder does. It finds fish for you. But how many know that even though you know the fish are there, that doesn't necessarily mean that the fish you know are there will actually reveal themselves? And so we catch Simon in a place of discouragement in his life because what he knew was there failed to reveal itself. I want you to know tonight that there's greatness that is waiting to be revealed from each one of your lives. That what you know, that you know, that you know is in there is just, it's one word away from revealing itself. The story goes on to say that Jesus gets in Simon's boat, tells him to push off of the dock. We need to push off of the dock. I received this word about 7 months ago. You know, we are operating our lives in the kingdom from the dock. This is a familiar place. We are real familiar with the dock. It's a safe place. We know what to expect from the dock. But the catch, the greatness that is yet to be revealed cannot be caught from the common place. This is what God said. He said, Troy, what we have to do is we have to launch away from what we've known thus far. You're going to have to go into uncharted territory. Waters that you've not known before. Geographical locations that are not, that you've not visited before. You've got to get away from what you know. You know how to do that in your own strength. You don't even need the faith to fish from the dock. You ever fish from the dock? It's boring. It's boring. You know, you got little kids fishing from the dock. You know, the only people that fish from the dock are those people that don't have a boat. It's true. You don't catch people with boats fishing from docks. You go to the mile-long pier in Lorraine, you know what those people are? A bunch of people that don't have boats. Because if you had a boat, you would go find some uncharted territory where your fish finder would find the greatness of the catch that's underneath the boat. And there you would launch out your nets. Right? Because the only suckers fishing from the docks are those who are fishing with worms. Because if you had a boat, you would be in it. And you would be out there with all the other fellas. Now, the problem with fishing, you know, out there with all the other folks is here's another danger. And I shared this last year. I'm kind of recapping. I'm moving kind of fast. But here's another problem, that when we get out on the water and we start fishing for the greatness that we know is there, you know, you're just moving along in faith because you know that eternity has been planted inside of your heart. You sense the Spirit of God about to do something great in your life, but you're frustrated because you can't get it to somehow reveal itself. You ever been there? Hopefully I'm not the only one. And then you look around, right? You look around and everybody's catching fish but you. You ever feel like that? Look, good things are happening for everybody but me. God, you said you're no respecter of persons, but it sure does seem like you are right now. Because how come Mike shot the big buck and it was 100 yards away from me, but he shot the big one? We went hunting, and he shot a big buck, and I didn't shoot nothing. I was kind of like, man, it's messed up. I've been hunting here for 2 days. Mike comes in. He's here for 6 hours, and suddenly, bang, shoots a big one. But if you're not careful, you can fall into that mentality of, woe is me. How come everybody's limiting out on fish except for me, God? You said that you would bless me. But I look around and everybody else's cooler is full of fish and everybody else's boats are full of fish. And then what do we do then? What we do when we see other people catching fish in that area is we start chasing other people's fish. We start chasing other people's greatness and hoping, look, if I get around you, and James, if I get around you enough, I'll get some of your greatness. You got enough greatness to share. Come on, give me some of your fish. Don't we? Because we see them. So we start chasing names and titles. Bishop this and king, you know, we're like, oh, look at that guy. He's on TBN. I'm going to go find him where he's at. I'm going to go chase his greatness. Because you all have seen it, because we all live by the lake. You look out on the lake some days in the summer, and what do you see? You see all them boats huddled together. All them boats huddled together because their fish finders say there's a bunch of fish there. But they're all just sharing a portion of greatness that was truly designed to be unique to one. Because Peter's catch was Peter's catch. He didn't say, hey, Simon, get in your boat and you see where Luke and them are fishing out there? Matthew and Luke, you see where they're fishing? Go over there to where they're fishing because you know they know how to fish and you don't. This is nonsense. The scriptures work for you. And you, and you, the word of the Lord, it truly doesn't respect you more than me. But somehow we get in our minds that because their greatness is revealed, that I got to go chase their greatness and let go of what I know is inside of me. But fish, how many know fish operate on time? Fish bite within... You know, there's a time problem we have, don't we? And it doesn't matter how old we are, what gender, what culture, we all sense the time that's pushing against us to reveal the greatness within us. Oh, we all feel it. We all know I have a limited amount of time to reveal the greatness I know is in me. I've only got so much time. I'm 40 years old. Well, I'll be 40 in October. I'm 40 years old, and I've never felt time push on me the way I feel it now. I'm like, God, I got to do more. I've got to reveal the greatness I know exists. That's right there underneath me. I know it's there because I can sense it in the spirit. The spirit is like our fish finder. You know, we like all of the spirit realm is screaming at us. It's time. It's time. It's time. The fish are there and you can sense it right there, right? And you're like, how come my nets are empty? And so Peter, he's on the docks and he quit. And if you could see in the spirit, you would see a bunch of boats hung up on the dock and a bunch of people who just quit. I'm done. I'm so discouraged, so frustrated, because nothing will frustrate you more than the greatness you know exists, but you cannot get it to come to the top. Nothing will cause strife more among your peers, in your relationships, than this frustration you carry because you know that your greatness is near but not revealed. Nothing will be misunderstood more than that. This unrevealed greatness. And so here, This is what Lady Gaga said. I made a reference to it last week, but I want to actually quote her verbatim. Now, Lady Gaga, I'm not endorsing her, but listen, this is a child that is not yet a child of the King. And this is what she said about greatness. She said, "I used to walk down the street like I was a fabulous star," except she didn't say fabulous. She said, "I want people to walk around delusional about how great they can be, and then to fight so hard for it every day that the lie becomes the truth." She said she used to walk around, before she became Mother Monster, she used to walk around talking about how great she was, how fabulous she was. And now that she's a pop icon, now she teaches others that they can be great like her, even if she don't necessarily see it. She said, "If I could just get you to think like that, then one day the lie will actually become reality." And if she, as a child who does not know the master of the greatness, can somehow reveal her greatness, how much more you and I, who house the greater one within us, how much more shall we aspire to reveal our greatness to the glory of our Father? And I shared last week how my son, it was signing day, and he signed his name on the dotted line to go to Bryant University. And in that moment, he was stepping into his greatness. Now, interesting note here is that as his father, and there were other parents there whose children were doing the same thing, interesting note is that we were walking around and people were saying, "Congratulations." They were congratulating me on my son's greatness. Because when your greatness is revealed, people will recognize it and they will honor your father. And we walk around with a false sense of humility in the kingdom, thinking we should turn away from greatness and walk in this false sense of humility that somehow we're stealing the glory of our father. And in Genesis 3:12, he said to Abraham, he said, "I'm going to make your name." And then in the New Testament, when Jesus' fellows are sitting around and they're arguing with one another, he said, the one says, you know, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And not one time did Jesus reprimand them for their desire to be great. He reprimanded them for their means to accomplish the greatness that they desired. And then he says, "And greater works shall you do." How come? The greatness that you know is there, that has been placed there to bring glory to your Father. Why? Don't run from it. Don't ignore it. Don't push it down. Don't try to act like it's not there. Don't try to pretend like God has not created you for greatness, because He definitely has. Because when the Son receives glory, the Father receives the glory as well. That's why we all walked around on that day and said, "Congratulations, congratulations." We was all happy for one another. "Congratulations, you don't have to pay for college. Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations." And I was congratulating myself. I don't have to pay for groceries or nothing. I was like, "Praise you, Jesus." That was... If you see my son, he could pick up a refrigerator and just, you know, he could kill it. But your Father desires for your greatness to be revealed, because I was talking to my brother the other day, Adrian, and he has this, he's got some crazy stuff going on in his life, and then God is just revealing His greatness in this time. He's revealing greatness like right now in his life. Like it's just happening exponentially in his life. And what was amazing was that this revelation of greatness that was being revealed in his life and is being revealed, people on the outside looking in are looking at him and going, "What? I like you, and I want to support what you do." And he literally has a guy pushing him. He wants to fund the greatness that's on the inside. He said, I want to fund the greatness that's on the inside of you to the tune of six figures. Because when the greatness that's on the inside of you somehow it gets to the surface, others around look at it and go, "Man, that is amazing. Wow." Because they recognize the glory of the Father being revealed in the Son, and now they got no choice but to react to the glory that's being revealed through the Son. And whenever glory is revealed, it causes one expression. Oh my goodness, I have to somehow give reverence to the glory of the Son that comes from the Father. I have to applaud the glory being revealed from the Father to the Son. I have to stand up and take notice of it. I have to support it. I have to fund it. So here we are. So we're catching up to the story here. And in Luke 5, verse 5, let's go there. It says, Simon answered and he said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Now, first of all, recognize that Jesus told him to let down his nets, plural. We'll get to that in a minute, and how your capacity has to be enlarged to fit the Father's release and revelation of greatness in you. You're fishing with a pole, and he's like, "Look, I told you to fish with nets. Your capacity has to enlarge." But here in this text, let's look at how Simon reacts to Jesus. Simon reacts to Jesus, and he calls him Master. He says, "Master." Now, right there, he is doing something. Right off the bat, even though he's discouraged, even though he's beaten down by life, even though he's tired and he wants to cry, he responds to Jesus and he responds to him with the expression of Master. Meaning, you have the authority and I recognize your authority over the kingdom and the earth. And when Peter says Master, he's saying, "Look, you are the teacher and you are the commander. I recognize that what you do is control the fish." When he says Master, he's saying, "You know and I don't. You know, Jesus, and I don't. And so, Master, nevertheless, at your word." Have you ever gotten to the point where this happens? Where you have tried and tried and tried, and you receive the instruction from the Master, and your response is in obedience to the Master. I remember doing this not long ago. It was about I think it was over some money that was owed to me. And I said, you know, you have to really catch yourself doing this. And I remember saying, "God, I give it to you. I recognize that you are the authority over everything. You are even the authority over my enemies. I recognize your hand of power and strength to operate even when it seems like what's happening in the natural is contrary." You ever done that? And I'm telling you, that was the day before, and I lifted up that indictment, really, that came against me. And I said, it was like for $35. It was a $35 indictment. But it bothered me. It bothered me. They said I owed them $35, and I knew I didn't owe them $35. I said, no. I literally said, okay, master, there it is. Okay, nevertheless. And I responded with, you know, and I don't. It's a problem when you don't know what you don't know, isn't it? Now, that becomes a problem. When you don't know what you don't know, you get yourself in trouble. And so the response when you don't know what you don't know is, it should be on our hat, is to say, nevertheless, master, I recognize that you know. And the next day, I received a letter in the mail that the state of Ohio had $900 waiting for me because of the company that when I originally moved in the house, I paid for something I should not have paid for. The company made me pay for. The same company that was indicting me made me pay for something I shouldn't have paid for. And now this money has been sitting there waiting for me for 4 years. And now suddenly the state of Ohio, the next day, sent me a check. And I lifted it up and said, you do know, Jesus. You really do know. And I wanted to call the company and go, say, see, I told you not to mess with me. And that was Simon's response, master, nevertheless at your word. And then after it's caught, his response is, Lord. Look at it, it's in 5 verse 8. So when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. The O Lord is the revelation of his mastery. The O Lord comes the next day when you receive the evidence of his mastery. When the fish are caught, you're like, I knew it. Forgive me for doubting you. You are Lord. And that's when you go, woo, you truly are the Lord. And sometimes when the evidence comes against us, when the greatness is being restricted and being suppressed, we have to say, Master. Our response has to be, Master. I know it's there, Master. I know it's there, Master, and it's about to reveal itself. And just surrender in that moment, Master. And that's what Peter did. And then suddenly he sees it and he responds with, Lord, a person exercising absolute ownership rights. Lord is who Christ shows himself to be by our confessing of who we believe him to be. And that is Master. Speak to the greatness of the Master within you tonight. Jesus, I know you are going to reveal my greatness. Leading into my next point is this element of surrender. See, Peter had to surrender his identity, who he was. Now, just by the fact that Peter is a fisherman, we know that he was a professional fisherman, because at the age of 13, young Jewish boys would either do one of two things. They would either go learn the way of the rabbi, or they would go to their rabbi and they would present themselves to their rabbi. And the rabbi would say one of two things. He would either say, go and follow follow in your father's footsteps, meaning go learn the trade of your father, or the rabbi would look at the boy and say, follow me. Remember when Jesus said this? He said, follow me. So the rabbi would either say, go learn the trade of your father, go walk in his footsteps, or he would say, follow me. I believe you can do even greater than me, the rabbi would say. And we know that Jesus at the age of 13, or we know that Peter at the age of 13 was turned away from the rabbi. We know that the rabbi, the local rabbi in the village there, must have said, hey, you go and follow in the footsteps of your father. I don't believe you got what it takes to be a rabbi. And so here he is. He's fishing. He's walking in the trade of his father. And we know that he's pretty good at it. You know, you kind of get, you know that Jesus recognizes, he says, you catch fish, but now you're going to catch men. You're going to be a fisher of men. So Peter here is pretty good at it. But what Peter had to do to reveal his greatness is he had to surrender himself. He had to surrender his boat to Jesus. He had to surrender his identity, his vocation, his everything he thought about himself. He had to say, all right, I surrender myself to you. And if we're ever going to reveal our greatness, church, what we have to do is there has to be a moment of surrender. There has to be this moment where we surrender, like, our image. All right, Jesus, I realize that I'm a fisherman. And I should know, and you shouldn't have to tell me, I surrender to you. And if you look around the kingdom, you see a lot of struggling and striving in the kingdom, right? We strive in the kingdom to maintain what we believe is our identity. And what Jesus is asking for, he's like, give it to me. You wouldn't think that the struggle would be that enormous in the kingdom. That for him to say, just give me your life. Just give it to me. Give me your boat. Come on, give me what you trust in. Give me what you have confidence in. You have confidence in your ability to catch fish. I know that, Peter. Give me your boat and watch what I'll do with it. And at the moment of surrender, an empty boat released into the hand of Jesus becomes a vessel of greatness to harness that greatness that's just underneath the surface, isn't it? An empty boat, an empty life poured out and says, Jesus, I surrender it all to you, somehow becomes now this opportunity for Jesus to work through and reveal his greatness from within. Surrender tonight. He chose you. He's saying, look, James, give me your boat. Just give it to me. He chose you. You didn't choose him, he chose you. He found you frustrated and discouraged on the shores of life. And he's saying, give me your life and watch how I'll reveal the greatness that you know's in there that you can't seem to get to release by your self-efforts. You can't get it to come out. But if you'll just give me your empty life, watch how I'll reveal this greatness that's on the inside of you and cause everybody around to take note of it. Just surrender and the greatness will be revealed. And so our capacity has to be enlarged also. I've realized that church is not big enough. I got this revelation. I actually got it today. I mean, I've been feeling the ache in my spirit, but I got it today that the church is not big enough, that there's something bigger. The capacity of what God wants to do our mentality of what we think about the church is not large enough. Look at this. Luke 5, 6 to 7 says that when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. They began to sink. Could it be that we're trying within ourselves to catch and harness greatness, and it is the very thing, our self-efforts is what's actually causing our failure? Causing the resistance and the suppression of the greatness on the inside. Could it be? Could it be the fact that we don't have a large enough capacity or a big enough dream of what God wants to do with our life? Do we think too little of the greatness inside of ourselves? Isaiah 64:4 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. Those who occupy their minds with small matters generally become incapable of greatness. Somebody said that. Your dreams are not big enough for yourself. Your greatness is so overwhelming that it's left you discouraged and frustrated on the shorelines of life. And Jesus is saying, you need bigger nets and you need to grow your capacity of faith so that way I can reveal the greatness that's on the inside of you. I just need you to think about yourself the way I think about you, Jesus is saying. So if you can imagine it in your mind, it's not big enough. If it doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. If it's not causing you to wake up in the middle of the night with like shudders and fear, it's not big enough. If you can define it by man's words and man's terminology, it's not big enough. Dream bigger. Think bigger. God wants to reveal something even greater in your life. In Luke 5, verse 7. I've been watching the Lakers lately. Anybody been watching them? Guys, you've been watching the Lakers, how they're struggling. They are struggling. And you have to ask yourself, and ladies, just so you know, the Lakers, they have all the individual components for greatness. Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant, World Peace. You've got to name your World Peace, and how come you can't win? But what they don't have, even though they have all of the components for greatness, all the individual components for greatness, what they don't have is a team that has a unified vision for the greatness of one another to be revealed in one another at the complement of one another. What you see with the Lakers and why you see them struggle is because one player is being suppressed by another player's greatness. The other player wants his greatness to be on front stage, and the other player now he's like, look, I can't have your greatness outshine my greatness. So I'm going to have to be the one with the triple-double. I'm going to have to be the one that scores the ball. Because I can't have your greatness outshine my greatness. And in Luke 5, 7, it says they signaled to their partners in the other boat, doesn't it? They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And then in Luke 5 and 10, it says, and look at what it says. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. So you see, there's all these other fishermen out there. And the text refers to them as partners to Simon. It wasn't their greatness that was revealed, but they were partners in the revelation of Simon Peter's greatness, weren't they? But what we see many times, what we see is the suppression of greatness in the kingdom. I went to an event not long ago, and I noticed that I was the only fella that walked in and had some other fellas with me. And when I sat down, the front row was empty. The front row was empty, and I'm thinking, how come that front row, how come they don't go back like we would, Pastor, and get somebody and say, hey, come sit in the front row. I was confused. I'm thinking, why leave the front row empty? Why not instead go into the back row and pull somebody to the front row and promote them and encourage their greatness to to bubble up to the surface and be revealed. And I had only one. I was left with only one deduction. I'm thinking, well, I guess that's not a priority. I guess the revealing of your partner's greatness isn't a priority. I guess self-promotion is more important than their promotion. But in order for Simon's greatness to be revealed, I got news for you. He had to have partners promote his greatness. He couldn't do it himself. As good as he was, his boat wasn't big enough. It said he had to call the sons of Zebedee, meaning sons of thunder or sons of great strength. He had to call the sons of Zebedee over because they were the only ones strong enough on the lake that day to assist him in pulling up the greatness, the weight of the greatness that was one. You know, we all need somebody to pull up the greatness that's inside of me. Thank God for Pastor Wiley and Pastor Rita and Pastor Canton and Pastor Tina. Those that are committed to pulling up the greatness, not intimidated. Not suppressors of greatness. To look at a man like Leon Timbo and bring him in and say, there's no intimidation here. I don't want to suppress that greatness. I want that greatness to be revealed. And I want that greatness to pull the greatness out of the people that are with him up to the top. I want him to bring those that he's on the lake with. Those are the ones that I need him to promote. And if we're ever going to see this revelation of greatness that's on the inside of each and every one of us, I need, listen to me. Elders, we have got to pull up the greatness of the younger generation. We cannot be angry, frustrated, because if we don't reveal their greatness, they will be left on the shores, on the docks of life. And they will forever be discouraged and frustrated in this thing called the kingdom. Because they'll go, man, I just never knew how to work that thing enough to get that thing to the top. I just couldn't ever get the greatness inside of me. We have to get over ourselves. We're not that good. We have to utilize those that God has placed around us to help us achieve our greatness. You see this in the scriptures with King David and King Saul, don't you? And how King Saul was intimidated by David's greatness. And instead of, if he was smart, he would have just encouraged and helped him reveal the greatness and not been intimidated by his greatness, but helped him to bring his greatness to the surface. But instead, he started throwing spears at him because he was intimidated by it, fearful of it. We need to compliment instead of compete. There's such competition on the lake. We minimize the greatness of them to magnify the greatness of me. Shame on us if we ever minimize the greatness of somebody else to maximize the greatness of me. I always have people asking me, Troy, why are you always walking around with them young boys and they're always chasing you all over the place? Because my goal in life, I have to help them reveal the greatness that's inside of them. Because Pastor has done it for me. And I have to do it for them. Mark Twain says this: keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that. But the really great make you feel that you too can become great. Promotion. We must promote those under us to achieve greatness. Keep me away from the wisdom which does not cry, the philosophy which does not laugh, and the greatness which does not bow before children. We need to hand out fishing nets in the kingdom and then begin to teach them how to work those fishing nets for Jesus. Maybe tonight you're here and you're like, I need somebody to help me reveal the greatness I know inside of me. And we want to do that. That's our mission here. Is to make your name great in the earth. Experience must step forward though. These expert fishermen who know the secrets must step forward. Because nobody really cares about badges and titles when promotion is all they need to reveal the greatness on the inside of them. And then lastly, Luke 5:1 says, "So it was as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." The multitudes pressed. The multitudes were pressing forward to hear the word that Jesus was bringing forth to them. And Simon says, "Get it." He offers his boat to Jesus to serve those that needed to hear what the master had to say. And in Matthew 23, verse 11, it says, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." Greatness is serving. We have two choices tonight. We have two choices. We can either pursue degrees and titles, or we can pursue people. We can pursue people tonight and serve them as the master has ordered us, or we can pursue our own interests. And in serving those, as we offer up our own boats and we begin to serve humanity, suddenly our own greatness is revealed. As we offer up our lives to reveal their greatness, suddenly the master's in our boat, and now the greatness of our catch is revealed. This is our choice. "He must increase," John says, "and I must decrease." We either foster greatness in others, or we reveal our own greatness. Not everybody can be famous, but everybody can be great, because greatness is determined by service. Martin Luther King Jr. said that. My greatness must become his. The word of greatness must come to those on the shoreline of faith. I've discovered that my greatness is only achieved by Christ in revealing his word to those that are discouraged and frustrated and beaten down by life on the shoreline. I close with this. I heard a story the other day of a woman who was, she didn't know how to read or write. But somebody close to her died. And she didn't know how to read or write. And the one thing that this person left to her was his will. It was a piece of paper. And on it was what he left in his will. And because she couldn't read or write, she took what that person left to her, because she knew that it was the only thing that he left to her. And so what she did was, she took that will and testament that he left to her, and she framed it. And for like 25 years, it hung in her house. 25 years, what that man had given to her from his will and testament, it hung on the wall of her house, until one day somebody came over and looked at it and said, "What is this?" And she explained that when that man died, he left her this piece of paper, she said. And he looked at it and he said, "Do you realize what this means?" And she had lived a meager existence. He said, "Did you realize that this right here is $22 million. It's been hanging on your wall for almost 30 years. And the rest is history. Tonight, do you realize that the will and testament of Jesus has been placed inside of you? It's in there, and it's just waiting to be cashed. It's just waiting for you to take it to the bank and receive the benefits of that which has been there the whole time. The greatness on the inside of you belongs to you. Jesus said, I, the greater one, now live in you. And the greater things that I do, you can do. These greater things you can do. And all you have to do tonight to reveal this greatness is take it to the bank. Just take it to the bank. How do I do that? How do I cash in on what I know now is inside? How do I take this to the bank? Very simple. Jesus said to Simon, he said, get in your boat and go to the deep. Go to the deep, and when you get to the deep, I want you to cast your nets. This is an act of faith, church. He said, I want to see the greatness that God has bequeathed to me. I want to see it revealed in my life. Well, what you have to do and what I have to do and what we have to do is we just have to keep on fishing in life. And by faith, you know what we got to do? We got to let down the nets. We got to throw them over the side. And by faith, we have to believe in the goodness of the Master. In the goodness of the Master. As I was talking with somebody yesterday, they said, you know, good things are happening. And I feel like I can ask Jesus for anything and he'd give it to me. He said, I know that sounds arrogant, but I truly believe that if I just asked him, if I asked him for a cup of coffee, he said, I believe that he'd get it for me. And maybe tonight, you know, you need to believe for just a cup of coffee. Start with, man, if you can't believe for the real great thing, just believe for a few fish. Just believe for a few fish. And then once you practice that faith, then cast again. Get back in your boat tomorrow. Go out again. Go to a place in faith that's new and exciting. If you've ever fished a place you've never been before, there's a certain sense of expectation. And if you're losing that expectation, you've got to get to a place in God you've never known before. It's called a deep place. And if you get to that deep place where you've never known before, what you'll find is you'll have expectation. And he says he'll reward the faith that you take to that deep place and let it down. Let's stand on our feet tonight and close in prayer, shall we? And tonight you say, look, I need faith to just throw. I'm so discouraged by life. I just need faith to toss the nets over the side of the boat. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to do this with me tonight. If you're looking for that greatness to be revealed tonight, you can sense it happening. You can sense it's there, close to you, right underneath your feet. You need that prayer of agreement. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you tonight. Right where you're at, I just want you to lift your eyes up and look at me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. That in this moment of frustration and discouragement, we take our nets and we throw them over the side and we say, God, we believe that you are good. We believe that you are a blesser. We believe, God, that you give us good things. Tonight I pray for those that need to receive from you tonight. They need to see. Maybe they need to see one or two fish, but that you would reveal your greatness. Declare that Jesus has great things. Great things in store for you tonight. In Jesus' name, I thank you for health and healing. That as we throw our nets over tonight, you give us health and healing, that by your stripes we're healed. That for marriages, there's some here tonight, they're throwing their nets over the side of the boat by faith, and they're saying, I'm believing for my marriage to become great. My children tonight, you're throwing those nets over, believing for children. Some of us tonight throwing our nets over, believing for provision, Lord. So tonight we throw them over and we say, by faith we believe in your goodness. That as we let these nets down, we have expectation that we're going to pull up a great catch. Because that's what you've promised us. And thank you, Lord, that now the question becomes, what are we going to do with all of these fish that we pull to the surface? What are we going to do with all of this glory that's revealed to the earth? How will we respond? Thank you, Lord, that you reveal greatness tonight in your children. We bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord. There are some in here tonight who need to allow and surrender their boats to Jesus. If that's you, just lift your eyes tonight. Say, I need to surrender my boat to Jesus. Amen. Jesus, we surrender our lives to you tonight and declare that you are the master of our lives tonight. That all things are possible with you. We say, take our lives and make us fishers of men tonight. We bless you. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Altar ministers, if you can come forward. If you need prayer tonight, if there's something you want to touch and agree together with tonight, we want to pray for you. If you could tonight on your way out, prepare your offering, your tithes and your offering. The ushers will be receiving that on the way out. Thank you for supporting the ministry here, helping us to bring the message of hope to a hopeless world. Tonight, if you need prayer, we want you to come. God bless you tonight as you go. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week. Let him talk through you. We'll see you Sunday at 12 noon. You're welcome to come for prayer if you need it.